We are mere days away from the NFL draft, I guess, if we're rounding up. And we have some question marks out there still. So whose ADPs come with the biggest question marks? We're going to talk about that. I also, right before the show, obsessively looking through top 30 visits, in particular, trying to solve some things for Roger Guessime. It didn't look good for him, but it does look good for one guy. So let's tease that out. I am already in a draft here. I see some folks in the chat here, our guys, Thomas, Jeff, Adam, who doesn't love the new YouTube layout, which I didn't even see today, but I am in a draft room getting going here. Saw enough regulars waiting, and we're going to get going bright and early here again, trying to avoid the crush of regulars, trying to get some real draft rooms. And today we are in a real draft room, including Lyle Kittenhouse, one of the worst names in best ball drafts you will ever find. He is in the room with us today. Of course, the show, Underdog, promo code SPLASH on there, double your deposit, up to $100, and we will see what we get at the 102 spot to start things off. Question marks in the first, okay. Well, this is an interesting one. Kind of assumed I wouldn't get Christian McCaffrey today at the 102. I think I got to do it. Let's play the GIF. Again, we're starting early. Doesn't mean that we can't do some of the hits, and that means that I am, in fact, this guy on the screen. I'm a running back pick. He scarf him up. Oh, I can't. Oh, Christian McCaffrey fell the 102. I can't help myself. But I do think, because I've mentioned many times, I actually was commenting back to somebody actually earlier this morning who had left me a comment yesterday. I think for me, Christian McCaffrey, look, I talked about it yesterday. I think that he is the chalk decision. If you're expecting him to win UBBM, expecting him to win the big board right now, it's a chalk expectation right now. That's the binary outcome. Christian McCaffrey has another great year. It's what everybody expects. So ultimately, I think you're going to benefit across your portfolio from doing things that leverage against that, that give you a shot to compete against McCaffrey in week 17, whether that be other stud running backs, whether that be more likely what I like to do, stud wide receivers, and kind of a portfolio, a stable of running backs that you can have that try to get close enough to Christian McCaffrey. That's what you're trying to set up for. Lamar Jackson goes in the four hole here. Things have gone off the deep end already. Either way, my point though for Christian McCaffrey is that I really do want to be with him, want to be with the field on that 80% exposure. But if I had like I had last year where I got 16% at the 101, I'm probably not going to take all Christian McCaffrey there. I'd probably go 8%, maybe even 10, and then go somewhere else. So that's how I view Christian McCaffrey overall, but a guy with no question marks for sure. Guy in the thumbnail, though, I think does have some question marks. Bijan Robinson, I think he's a guy where he's just moved up to being in the top five. Obviously, here he goes top six to, I'm not going to say our pal because I don't want to be associated with the Lyle Kittenhouse brand. But Bijan Robinson, I think the big question mark for him is, with this being a Kirk Cousins offense, does he have the real ceiling in that offense to get there? I tend to think that he will. I do know a lot of sharp projection people out there, though, have said that it's hard to project Bijan having a good enough year to justify his ADP, Drake London, Kyle Pitts having a good enough year to justify all those ADPs rolled up into one. And I think if I had to question it the most, I would question Bijan. We do have another back there who in the past, Arthur Smith, gravitated to as a goal line back in Tyler Allgeier, man that I am was in the bag for more so his rookie year this past year. I think he came back down to earth. The analytics also would back that out. For Bijan, though, I think he's got some big questions. I would say for Brees, I know people, everybody out there loves Brees. Some of our most beloved regulars love Brees. I would say for him at ADP, too, the question is, like, if you really unpack it, how does he get there this year? It means that, you know, the Jets have to be world beaters. The Jets have to be a team that wins the AFC East. The defense, you have to assume, is also carrying a lot of water that allows them to set up Brees having these big days, having a lot of the ability to rack up the big yardage because, you know, in a play from behind offense, he can get there too. You know, Aaron Rodgers will be maybe an elevated version of what we saw last year with Brees getting the checkdowns from really just garbage guys playing at QB, Zach Wilson and who else, Tim Boyle, whatever else was left there at QB. So for Brees, I think that I have the question still, like, are the Jets going to be good enough to justify where he's going right now? I don't think it's a flaw for Brees. I think it's a flaw with the Jets. Of course, got some chats going on here. Got a guy Chunk in the chat. Hello, friends. You handcuff Christian McCaffrey with Elijah Mitchell late. I still don't believe in doing that. If I'm taking McCaffrey at the 102, the bet's on him. Obviously, you can try it, I guess, dunk it home and play the outcome that McCaffrey's out week 17 and then Elijah Mitchell comes in. Frankly, I'm kind of over just pure handcuff backs at this point. I've been burned by them enough years, including Elijah Mitchell last year, Nyheim Hines the year before last, where you know Mitchell had work the year before last, and then he got less work this year. Nyheim Hines, he had the outcome of Jonathan Taylor getting hurt, and then Nyheim Hines had one game being the starter and then got traded. So to me, I'm trying to really be mindful of not going crazy on these guys. So the Lamar Jackson guy takes Devon Achane at this pick. So I guess he's correlating for previous week 17s of Baltimore and Miami. And that's why he had to go nuts there. Malik Nabers at 22 now. I think in the draft, again, looking at the top 30 visits, don't think Malik Nabers gets past the Titans, would be my current guess. Let's make my pick here. We have McCaffrey. Recent reports coming out that, so I guess the Raiders owner, Dennis Allen, is it, what's his fucking last name? I'm forgetting the last name, whatever the Raiders owner is, Davis, right? Yes. That's the Davis family. What the fuck is the guy's first name then? That's what threw me off. The one with the stupid haircut that I think, don't think it's a stupid haircut anymore. Apparently he's said it's okay for the Raiders to trade up to get a top QB. So they're a little bit more linked to Jaden Daniels. I don't know that's going to happen, but it is a consideration. All right. So we have McCaffrey, we have Adams. This would be a time to try to make it up at receiver. I really don't love these receivers left. I am actually going to take Josh Allen. So I do want to reveal my finding that I hinted at earlier. I talked about this, I think, a couple of weeks ago, some of the early top 30 visit stuff. The Buffalo Bills have now had Troy Franklin in for a top 30 visit, a private workout, and they also checked him at the combine. He's the only receiver they've done that with. So I think Troy Franklin, I've said it before, I think I feel more firm in it. Troy Franklin's going to be a Buffalo Bill. So I'm taking Josh Allen here in the hopes that I can get Troy Franklin later, because I think that is one play that I don't have a lot of. It's Mark Davis. There we go. Mark Davis. Thank you. Yeah, Al Davis is the very dead one. He's been dead for a while, and he's looked dead for even longer than that. CMC. Yeah, CMC and Josh Allen, this one. But again, a build where I have the QB1, theoretically, and the RB1. And I'm going to find ways to get more unique than most people who'll draft these players, I think works for me. But yeah, we're going to have to make it up at receiver. You know, losing Malik Nabers here made it a little bit tougher on me. Harrison, I would have hoped in this kind of room could fall back to me. So we're going to do something different today, building a different team. Tom Brady. The answer is always Tom Brady. That's what we know. It'll be fun to watch what the four hole does next. He took Derrick Henry a little bit early. So he is going Baltimore, Miami still. He's gotten, I mean, these picks are less insane. Like Achane at 21, you could say borderline of value. Derrick Henry at 28, not a value, but if Jacobs is going to go in the late 20s, I think it's fair to put Jacobs in the late 20s too. But yeah, this room is interesting because we have some zero RB. I'm not doing zero RB, so that alone makes it unique for me. But guys, of course, drafts every Monday to Friday at 11 a.m. or, you know, somewhere therein. So please do subscribe down below. Hit that notification bell, too. I am sneaking in drafts at times around 11 a.m. just to keep the rooms different, just to keep exciting and fun and hopefully more useful content. So please do that and hit the like button as well. Likes help out a lot here for independent creators like me because they help this channel get seen by more people, give us a shot to be seen by more people who care about best ball and fantasy football in general. So and honestly, great to see some new names leaving some really pleasant comments, which I appreciate. So definitely happy to see the growth here. And of course we're strapped in, for drafts until the season starts. So another 5 months. The NFL draft coming soon though. Very excited for it. I saw actually our guy Tyler on Twitter, who shout out to our guy Tyler doing a stream, with, Tom, who I used to work with at Football Outsiders, though Tom did kind of annoy me with how he and those guys handled that situation. Neither here nor there though. Point being for those guys, they're doing a stream, I think, when BBM starts every Monday at like 4 PM. So shout out to our guy Tyler starting to do some of his content of his own, which I'm sure we'll promote when the time comes up. Oh, Benjamin May's at the 101. Oh, okay. There we go. So Benjamin's in here inadvertently to his credit. But he is in the room with me and drafting a fine zero RB team for himself. And see, Dylan gives me an LOL. I'd assume in general, I always deserve one. I always deserve it. Took some shots at Xander and Sahith Theegala. I feel like that was a popular bet I've seen on Twitter. I took, what's the other Indian guy? I'm sorry. I just played the Masters lineups. I did not look that closely. Now that's going to kill me until I look it up. He had a very high optimal rate. I don't know if the master stuff is still editable. Akshay Bhatia is one I had a lot of exposure to. I think I ended up with 2x the field of Akshay Bhatia. So that's it. You got it. You guys knew right away. Yeah, I feel like he's another trendy one I saw people taking bets on for Twitter. And also my RL pal Rinpak was previously on Splash Play, helped us learn how to do Fantasy Cruncher optimizing a little bit better. I think he was saying like, oh, like we're rooting for him because I think they're from the same country originally. So. There you go. Representation, guys. Representation is important. Akshay Bhatia. All right. We don't have to be that granular. I think Akshay Bhatia was perfectly fine. I don't think we have to be dicks about it. All right. We're coming up here for some more picks. Let's see what J. Mac Crenshaw does at the four hole. Doing some bizarre things thus far. And yes, as Dan points out here, Hurts and Stroud goes to number 7 to a guy who does have digs. the Hurts part, reaching ahead of ADP, I just don't get it. So again, guys, we are seeing real rooms here. You guys, we get spoiled. Oh my God, Dak at pick 45. Holy shit. Things are going askew in the four hole. No receivers for him. Yikes, yikes, yikes. Rashee Rice going to get suspended for some time now. Warrants out for his arrest. We'll see what happens there. Doesn't look good. If I had to guess 2 to 4 games for him, and I'm not a lawyer. Keenan Allen, you guys know I like buying in on the Bears. We're going to buy in on some Bears here. Happy to keep doing Keenan Allen for now. Team so far, we got Josh Allen, CMC, Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, the all-stars of 2021. definitely an aged team so far, but we're going to make it up. We're going to be okay. All right. What do we do here? What do we do? Obviously, receiver would make the most sense. Don't love this pocket. I'm low on Amari Cooper, and I don't think I should be at this point. I think his price has come down enough. Personally, prefer him to T. Higgins 1-to-1. T. Higgins, the trade outcome would still be a good thing for him. It'd be the best thing for him, really, in terms of fantasy production. Besides that, though, meh. And if I'm going with the theme of just a bunch of guys who've been good in fantasy football the last 8 years, I think that Amari Cooper fits the bill. There's a wild room. Someone in this room will probably be a big winner. You think it's going to be me with all these vets? I hope so. Could get even older and go Terry. Terry's not the older. Terry's got to be like 27, right? Let's look it up. Terry McLaurin's age. Terry McLaurin, 28. 29 in September. Terry McLaurin older than you would think. Did he come into the league old? I feel like he's, I don't know. I guess he's been around long enough. Yeah, why not add to the old man team? McBride and Kyler. Yeah, meh. I'm okay with Kyler. Tua at 52 to the guy who had this team is a disaster. This team is fucking doing something stupid. I'm glad I got Josh Allen. This guy's got Lamar, Dak, and Tua. Again, you guys want to see normie rooms? Here's the fucking normie room. I'll change the title of the video after this one to look at the normie room. Question marks here in this round. I think Tua at pick 52 is a pretty big question mark. I questioned that ADP pretty vigorously. Honestly, Dak at 45, kind of think I'd rather have Dak than Patrick Mahomes. I know that might be crazy. Obviously, I don't like Mahomes very much at ADP unless you're taking Kelsey. I guess Rice too. Then, you know, take Mahomes. You get him at a discount especially. But I actually don't hate Dak at 45 as much as I do Tua at 52. Picking Dak and Tua ahead of AR, not good choices overall. But I think you know that. I think you know that. It's making it thrown out for collusion. We'll see. Things have not been getting thrown out very much lately. That's one thing I will point out. I've only had the first draft of the year thrown out. And I think the monitoring has perhaps been dialed back a little bit since then, if I had to guess. But I don't think this is a collusion. I think this is J. Matt Crenshaw not being a good drafter. Like, you can't have a black badge and, you know, not have enough drafts to know that you're just doing something stupid. What does this badge mean? Not able to draft underdog in the UK. The black badge is 500 drafts, and then red badge is 1,000 drafts, I think. If I remember, it might be 1,000 for black and then 2,000 for red. Someone will tell me in the chat. Would prefer to wait on QB, but went Mahomes after the 3 QB team. Yeah, that'll do it for you. All right, Dark here going double elite tight end, which, you know, not a bad wide receiver start for him. I like Olave and Debo more at these price points. I really don't like them where I could have taken them. I think those guys, to me, just feel like 30-ish picks. Debo coming up after last year remains one of the most befuddling things to me. Like, I don't know what he did. I know people love the Niners offense. I get it. Debo had a few spike week games. The numbers overall over the course of the entire year don't look awful. But, like, I just think he's okay. Like, Pittman, too, you know, frankly. Pittman, I was heavy on last year in the 50s. 30s, it just doesn't do it for me. Like, some of these wide receiver price tags, it's like, it's anchoring, you know, it's ADPs from last year, like we talk about, but it's also a little bit of, like, I think people just, like, a little too excited for guys that were, like, decent last year. That's how I feel about it. Debo's name equity, that's true. Am I crazy for seeing Tyreek in Neighbors film? I think that's a reasonable comp. Neighbors is, his east-west movement to me is like the most impressive part, where he can break any play, can get outside, can find also lanes inside to get, like, he's tremendous, both as a receiver and after the catch. One of my favorite players. The issue for him is, like, again, I don't think he gets past the Titans, so the better outcome is him going to the Giants, I guess. Somebody trading up. Chargers would be a good one for him, obviously, if they can't get Marvin Harrison. But I think that for Neighbors, I just worry about him going to the Titans in that offense. And it's like, he doesn't really want to play out of the slot. And that's how they're viewing things. There was a quote from Brian Callahan talking about like their wide receiver core. And he's like, yeah, I want to see Kyle Phillips out of the slot. I want to see Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. I want to see all these guys working. It's basically saying that like Hopkins and, oh my God, another QB, Aaron Rodgers. Oh, this is catastrophic. What is going on from the four hole? Anyway. Basically implying that Hopkins and Ridley are both to be playing outside and they're looking for a slot guy. So Brian Thomas goes at 70, a tremendous deal. McLaurin at 66, a tremendous deal. Marquise Brown at 71 is about a decent price tag for me. Again, not the biggest fan of the world of Marquise Brown, but we're going to take him. Just going to scoop up the value. Look, I wouldn't assume that, guys. I would say that. We've thought that before. Yeah, it's a sad day here, guys. Proud USC alum O.J. Simpson passed away. I don't recall anything else he did in his life. I think he was in the All-Pro football game, if I recall that, when the 2K guys lost the NFL license, he was in that. And anything else that happened in the 90s, I'm completely unaware of. Brock Bowers goes 72. Would have liked to get Brock, but that's okay. Good news is I didn't get the guy that I like, Brock Bowers. I got the guy that I don't like, Marquise Brown, because he was a little bit cheaper. So I'm crushing it. All right, 1140. Really, get another pocket that's not exactly filling me with lust. Kamara, a little bit of a discount. Montgomery, maybe for some slight correlation to Keenan Allen. I'm just going to shore up running back here. Go David Montgomery. I think I outright prefer David Montgomery to Alvin Kamara. Just the better shot that we know Detroit's going to be good. Montgomery, for whatever gains that we do see people making around him, in particular Jahmyr Gibbs making around him, but also, you know, Sam Laporta getting better would also hurt the touchdown equity theoretically. I just think Montgomery's the power back they're still going to trust for the most part. Let's see what J-Mac Crenshaw does to ruin things coming up here. That's true. That is now the rules on underdog. They've maxed five QBs, so they cannot add any more. So good for them. Well, vouch for Ben. He's a good dude. Look, people could be good dudes. You know, it's just, you'll take Brock Bowers from me. Then you lose good dude status in my eyes, but I get it. Brock at 72 feels pretty nice. Oh, what is he doing? Oh my God. JJ McCarthy. Why waste our time? Why do this, J-Mac Crenshaw? Oh my gosh. J-Man Crenshaw, not J-Mac Crenshaw. He's in Crenshaw. If he is in Crenshaw, it's 8 a.m. Maybe that's the issue. He just needs his coffee. He's a little pick-him-up. But damn it, man. Well, here's QB5 for him, J.J. McCarthy. We'll see. Love the Hero RB team. Yeah, everybody always loves a Christian McCaffrey team, even though that is, again, the chalk of chalk, but I appreciate it. How late should Rice be falling? Let's see. In this room, he went at... Where did he go? Oh, he went at 48. Yeah, I mean, the suspension's definitely going to knock him down. I thought he was overvalued anyway. I think 50s would feel okay. I'd still probably give him a shot over T. Higgins. I think it's okay. But now you run the risk of, like, does Kansas City bring in a better receiver? I think they haven't really been linked to anybody, haven't had any of the top names in for top 30 visits or even, you know, went to the pro days or anything. So I'm not sure how likely they are to do that. I think Jalen McMillan was one of their top 30 visits. So like that would be the risk for Rashee Rice. There's a guy that comes in and is just better than him. And I do think that's a possibility. So you're running a little bit more risk. I would say with that risk accounted for, 50s to 60s for me for Rashee Rice would be fair, but the market's not going to necessarily like let that happen. What did I just join into? He joined into pure idiocy in the four hole and a great and a solid draft in the two hole. But we'll see. Prefer Rice over Hollywood. Honestly, I prefer neither. Like Rashee Rice did a fine job last year. It's just now he did a fine job in a wide receiver core that was decimated. How does he do when you actually start bringing in some guys, start adding some talent? There's some vets they could add to for cheap, I'm sure, at some point. There's ways they can make that wide receiver room a lot better. And I think that hurts Rashee Rice, a guy who was just a good target earner, wasn't getting a lot of depth in those targets. And that's, again, the way they wanted to use him. And now you add in the legal stuff, like a lot of things coming together that just don't help out Rashee Rice, who I really took a stand against early on here. Don't think I expected quite this bad of a run out. Definitely did not expect the legal troubles. You can never account for that, but really one of the worst run outs for a guy that was going top 20 at one point in these drafts. Gonna do a second draft? Nope. I have a meeting at 12. Part of why I started early. So one draft and done today, no matter what. Described all the falling wide receivers for uniqueness in the contest. Yeah, Ben here in the one hole, doing a good job, scooping up some stuff. Minnesota brought in Jonathan Brooks for a top 30 visit, which I thought was interesting. Think that for Aaron Jones, adding in somebody that does pass game stuff would not be great for the back half of his season. For Aaron Jones, especially a guy we expect has a better shot to get hurt because of his age, the injury history, and all that. I do like Aaron Jones, but seeing Brooks being linked there at all kind of spooks me just a little bit. Anyway, I still think I wouldn't assume this draft gets thrown out as the main thing. Second thing here is like people have said this and talked about this on Twitter a little bit. I think if you're in a draft room where you think it's going to get thrown out, I wouldn't phone it in because if this room does stay alive, you could soak up so much value that gives you a better shot to advance and better shot to actually, you know, maybe build a super team. So I'd never throw in the towel on drafts, even if it does look pretty bad. I presume you guys are doing a stream together, but this sounds like sex. That's one. I think I appreciate the subtle promotion, but it does just sound like you two are fucking with that approach. J Mac Crenshaw here, J Man Crenshaw can't take any more QBs, so he takes Tony Pollard. So now he's just timing out on top of the queue, is what he's doing. Okay. 1-2-4-0 here. I think running back would be better for me right now than receiver. Took Jalen Warren yesterday. I guess today is a Najee day. Firm us up at running back a little bit more. Oh, there you go. Got to tune in to find out. Can Underdog really throw out a draft? Yes, they very much can. They very much can. And they do. In fact, the first stream of this year was thrown out in my room, though I do think they were enforcing pretty aggressively then, maybe a little bit less so since, because there's like a manual process to it. It's not all, you know, automatic. 1-2-4-1 here. Supposedly, though, they review every draft, but I guess maybe they just enforce things more strictly in the beginning. Who knows? Javonte Williams had a lot of pushback on Javonte Williams yesterday, people not being big fans of him. I guess I get it. I feel like if I grab one more running back here, I can kind of be done. I'm going to try to do that here. We're going to take Trey Benson. So this team, to me, I think that running back pocket, I could still get to five. I could honestly, in my brain, with how I view running backs, I can get to six here. Just have to get less draft capital. But I think this allowed me to really shore up running back well to protect if Christian McCaffrey gets hurt, to maybe be able to carry him into the playoffs, and then hopefully he comes back in. Team so far, Josh Allen, Christian McCaffrey, David Montgomery, Najee Harris, Trey Benson, Davante Adams, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Marquise Brown. So definitely more vet heavy than I usually like to go in the big board. As you guys know, love scooping up my Brian Thomases, love scooping up, you know, if I can, Harrison Neighbors, Brock Bowers, especially Jaden Daniels, a QB, but does seem like we're not going that route today. And Adam finds this team to be spicy. He likes it. And Javonte killed Tyler's father. Yeah, a lot of debate about Javonte yesterday. And I do think the main takeaway for me, it just kind of drive home what we were talking about, is that I really don't think he's going to be efficient. I really think the biggest issue for Javonte is like people are still kind of locked in, even though the ADP is not showing it. They're locked in on Javonte still having a shot to be like, he and Breece Hall were both really good, came on the scene at the same time, both went off, and then both guys had the injuries. Javonte was just never as good analytically as Breece Hall was. He was more of a volume guy. He was still a little bit better than he was last year, but not like by much. Whereas Breece, you know, showed outlier traits, showed the shiftiness, all of that. Javonte hasn't. So I think we have to kind of, if that's like a brain lock thing for you guys out there, I would separate that. I still think Javonte is a valid back, though, because of the fact that he is, you know, just going to get the volume. He kept the volume last year. They did work in McLaughlin. Then McLaughlin kind of got faded back. They still kept P. Ryan in the mix for pass downs. Javonte is more of that, you know, two down back than a three down back. But the goal line equity, as long as they don't bring in a rookie, which they can, I think they had a few in for top 30 visits, but nobody who you're like terribly worried about. Javonte has, I think, got enough volume assumption, but, you know, assumptions of volume can be one of the most fragile things to project. I just feel good about that projection. Hopefully no one in picks 3-12 is watching the stream. Next pocket is where your boys, yeah, we'll see. Curtis Samuel goes at 103. Was kind of hoping I could double dip with Samuel too for my Josh Allen, but that's okay. Can't get everybody. A.D. Mitchell. I don't know. I talked about who I think is going to Buffalo earlier, but I'm not going to say it again now. Just in case. Yeah, and Mitchell also went at 94, so we are out at 90. On A.D. Mitchell, and again, I don't think A.D. Mitchell's the pick. The list, by the way, I'm looking at for top 30 visits. Let me see if I can find it here and just drop the link in chat in case anybody wants to see it. Walter Football, I think, has the most comprehensive and most updated list. Also, a nice graphic was made by Sam Hoppen, who I think is at Betting Pros now, talking about, I guess, basically not talking about, but like the graphic was showing where how much like each position was allotted there in terms of the top 30 visits for each team, along with their virtual visits, their pro days that they attended, all that stuff. I thought it was an interesting little graphic here that kind of shows the team likeliness a little bit more so. And then here's this article from Walter Football I'm dropping in the chat too, which if you want to keep up with top 30 visits, it is a good one to take a look at. All right, Jared Goff goes 110. Let's see. In some of these rooms, I'm just curious, like, does the person have any correlation at all? So this guy's got Jahmyr Gibbs, not Amon-Ra with Jared Goff. So he does have correlation, but not the most logical. Carlos just wants to talk about OJ. I talked about it before, Carlos. There's only so many jokes he could make before it gets tasteless. But I made the joke that I don't know anything he did in the 90s, blah, blah, blah. Jaden Daniels goes 114, one of my bailout QB2s. He has gone to a guy who has Jalen Hurts and CJ Stroud. You don't need to do that if you are taking Jalen Hurts ahead of ADP, taking Stroud ahead of ADP. Another bad draft pick. The good news, though, this guy did take Jaden Daniels with McLaurin, so good for him. Walter was where I got my hand size combine measurements for the NFL added. There you go. Walter Football does a good job. Not a site that I use for a lot of things, but very niche things they sometimes have on there, like top 30 visits and like hand size, I suppose. Yeah, Walter Football's got the best list. I agree. It's also the only one that I actually see being updated. Like, I feel like a lot of, and this is the gross part of content now. It's like people made that for SEO and then they don't update it. And it's like, if you're going to make this thing, like make the thing, make it good, do the whole thing. All right. So we're going to just get our guy, Troy Franklin, here. Again, I think this is a bet that is going to happen. I think Troy Franklin and Buffalo, I'm willing to take that stab right now. There aren't a lot of teams that have had three visits with a guy, and this is the only one Buffalo had three visits with. So I think they're in on Troy Franklin. And if so, Troy Franklin's going to be in the fucking 50s by BBM. So mark that one, plant that flag now. If Buffalo drafts Troy Franklin with their wide receiver core and doesn't add anybody else in a major way, he's going ahead of Dalton Kincaid, if not like right next to him. All right, 1450 here. I feel like I'm just getting baited into taking more running backs, but I can't keep doing that. I guess I'll complete it with Shakir too. Shakir's still going to be in the mix enough. Would have rather had Curtis Samuel at this pick, but Shakir, fine enough. Two picks out of ADP. Team so far, we've got Josh Allen at QB, Christian McCaffrey, David Montgomery, Najee Harris, Trey Benson. Wide receiver, we've got Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Marquise Brown, Troy Franklin, Khalil Shakir. No tight ends yet. So we got to get one more QB, got to get two to three tight ends, probably three. Curtis Samuel went here at 103. So earlier than he should have to the guy Iconoclast, who's building kind of a dumb team. But relative to the scale of dumb teams in the room, I guess still not the dumbest team in the room, which that honor, of course, does go to pick number four here, who has drafted five QBs and has not drafted a wide receiver yet through 10 rounds. Like it to the Chiefs at 32 in Mel Kiper's latest mock draft. Yeah, he would be a guy if he comes in and Rashee Rice is out for a few games. As long as Leggett's healthy throughout camp, he's going to win that job. He absolutely would. But again, like Leggett, though, was not on the list for the Chiefs. Let me see. Chiefs have had Anthony Goulden for a top 30 visit from Oregon State. Chiefs have had Jalen McMillan for a top 30. That's the one I would worry about. They've had Ben Sinnedon, which is kind of interesting. Also had Cody Schrader in for the Cody Schrader fans out there. And Xavier Worthy, they saw at the combine, but did not have in for a top 30. Though it does seem like they're a team that does not do combine and top 30. Which is something to note if you do look at that Walter Football list. Like some teams, they're just like, okay, we got one look at the guy. We talked to the guy. That's enough. Some teams want to do a handful of visits. Obviously, if you see a handful of visits and not a bunch for like, you know, multiples of guys, like I'm talking about for Troy Franklin, then that looks like, you know, more interest than not for those guys. So that's how I would say to look at the list, but obviously people in the chat might feel differently. Is Watson so dusty, not worth having on the team with Cooper? We'll see what comes back. But I think he'd be fine at this point because we need a QB2. Shakir just feels so empty calories. He looked good last year. Let's look at Shakir's underlying numbers here. Shakir had a 0.87 EPA per target, which is nuts. He played enough routes. He played 32 snaps a game. Played 17 games, 32 snaps. It's a big sample size. That's outlier numbers. I think he's losing the spot. Like he's losing. If they didn't bring in Samuel, I guess it feels a lot different where it's like, wow, they're treating Shakir like a number two. But those numbers are like only behind an AT Perry. 0.9 EPA per target is, for that much volume, is pretty crazy. I don't know. I agree that like he's going to get draft capital down, but I think he's still, to me, better than Curtis Samuel. What was Curtis Samuel last year? Curtis Samuel, a much worse offense, a 0.04 EPA per target. So we're talking almost like what? 16x the production in terms of EPA metrics. So I don't think Khalil Shakir is empty calories now. Is he? Maybe he's not a great target earner. There's got to be something with Shakir that I'm like missing. If Shakir 15% target rate's not good, but Diggs was still out there. Kincaid's out there. So that's maybe the thing is like he's going to be efficient. He had a 1.5 EPA on deep targets. That's bananas numbers for Khalil Shakir. If they draft two, yeah. If they draft one, Shakir's still in the mix, and Shakir's younger than Samuel. I wouldn't write off Khalil Shakir. I agree the ADP is still reflecting where he was going before everything got weird for Buffalo. But I think for Shakir, I'm still want to take the flyer, especially if I have Josh Allen. He had 0.4 deep targets a game, so it would be nice to have more. But still, it's like that level of performance is still something to note. Like 1.3 EPAs per target downfield, or 1.5s rather. Those don't come along often. Obviously, easier to have it at a smaller sample size. All right, we're up on the clock here. We've got the bet on Cleveland. And yeah, Deshaun is still out there. I think we're just going to take Jerry Jeudy here and finish off Cleveland. I think this is more unique. I'm not crazy about Cleveland. Obviously, Amari Cooper, I still think Amari Cooper is a good play, but I think he should be a little bit cheaper because of Jerry Jeudy being in the mix. They still have enough guys there with Njoku, with Elijah Moore. And we're just going to lock down Deshaun here as honestly, perhaps the criminal process should have done. We're going to lock him up here. Deshaun Watson team so far is a 2-4-7-0. We got Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson. So I think one thing we're doing right away is we didn't play into the Niners full stack. I think people really fall into Debo, to Brandon Ayuk when they get that second chance at the second round. We didn't do that here. We got Christian McCaffrey, David Montgomery, Najee Harris, Trey Benson. So we could be done at running back. Could also take one late. Wide receiver, we've got Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Marquise Brown, a little bit older than I would like to have a receiver, have to admit. Then we got Troy Franklin, who has had the most visits at wide receiver with the Bills. I think I'm going to plant my flag. He goes to the Buffalo Bills. I felt it in my heart, but I haven't had the data to back it out until that Walter Football article, and I think that shows a lot of signal here. Khalil Shakir, who, as we just talked about, shockingly good in EPA metrics. Jerry Jeudy, we have no tight ends. That's a flaw. We're okay. Kind of think that with this bet, I wish I'd gotten Dalton Kincaid at a reasonable price tag. Like, I feel like if I'd gotten Kincaid at, where did he go? Kincaid went 62. I don't think he could have fallen to 71, and I wouldn't have wanted to take him at 50. But this team with Kincaid would really pop for me. So I think we're making a bet against Curtis Samuel is a bet I'm pretty comfortable making, especially for the week 17 stuff. Every QB going ahead of ADP thanks to the four hole. Look, I'm glad I took Josh Allen when I did. I think in this one room, I'm glad I did that because that guy fucked up everything for everybody. So yeah, did not have the usual bailouts where in this kind of build, I could go to JJ McCarthy. I still be okay going to, you know, Bryce Young. But I think we're okay with these two QBs if that's what we do. Opening up the pack of Barbie runs for the Masters. I don't even know what that means. You said words there. I don't know. I did like the Masters selling their food thing. Honestly, if I were a little more cash positive right now, not paying the bills for probably, I feel like I would have absolutely gotten that Masters food thing just to know. The issue though is like the smaller food thing, like you missed out on a lot of the famous items. I feel like that's part of the allure. I would like to go to the Masters at some point, but I don't know if I'll ever have enough clout to pull that off. Slash, I don't care enough to be on the waiting list and or the lottery or whatever they do. No wide receivers or tight ends from the four hole. Yeah, he is doing something. He is doing something. Okay. Strain. Okay. Is it an indica or a sativa? I didn't know. Could we get a KC Buffalo battle in the playoff week? So Brown and Franklin is nice. Yeah, look, I think we're, that's a good point. I mean, KC and Buffalo is the kind of matchup you could see the NFL go to. That's not, you know, a divisional one, but maybe has some playoff implications, maybe for the bye. Would be the hope, I think. Whether that happens or not, we'll find out. But yeah, look, I think I'm set up with two positive AFC teams, and I have one of the top NFC teams. So really, like, it's tough because winning in fantasy doesn't necessarily go hand in hand like teams winning, but obviously teams that score more points, teams that win more games, more production to go around, obviously highly productive offenses are ones that tend to be outliers at the end of the year. Can't always be defense. A defense is not sticky. So with all that stuff in mind, like, I got bets on top AFC contenders and Cleveland too. If that defense can be 75% as good as it was last year, though, I think, you know, even that's asking a lot. 75% is good with this offense. Hopefully Deshaun can bounce back. It's like the big thing. Points go Burr. I agree. When Splash Play Food Box? I will say I ordered this week. I was high on Monday night and we had no snacks in the house because we just, you know, we're doing less groceries these days. And just like ordered a bunch of pizza products from Amazon, not like actual pizza, but like pizza combos, Chex Mix pizza, which is actually really good. And these random like pizza chips. Some of you guys in chat are probably too young to remember this. There was a pizza chip called the Pizzerias that was made by Keebler when I was like 5 to 10 year old range. Best chip in the world. Tastes like pizza, kind of, but it's like a very fun taste. Doesn't exist anymore. So I was, my high brain was like, pizzerias don't exist. What can I get? So right now the SPAC snack box would be entirely pizza snack based and also Funfetti Muddy Buddies. That's what we did here. But it's okay because I'm fucking out running or walking 2 miles every day now. So that's how we're justifying awful snacking. Michael Mayer here. We can actually make a QB3 bet, which I think is kind of fun. We're going to do it with Michael Mayer, who I do like a tight end. Some risk that I guess the Raiders get Brock Bowers, and that kind of makes Michael Mayer moot. But I'm assuming that's not going to happen here. And if that's the case, I think that this Raiders offense, if they get Michael Penix, would be good. If they get Jaden Daniels, great. If they get Bo Nix, I'm fine with that. I think anybody that get a QB, even though Gardner Minshew is probably starting the year, I'd be okay with that. Or at least they're going to do the same thing the Colts did last year. I got to give our credit to our guy Jeff here, who's talking me to Braylon Allen. Braylon Allen, one of the more prominent Cowboys running back visits, though they have seen pretty much every talk back in the class, including Bucky Irving. But I think I'm going to get Braylon Allen here for my RB5. Again, we have the bet on vets that we can carry through early on. And I think I'm okay at wide receiver for now. Obviously, tight end, I need to make up on volume, but I'm all right with that. We could do that later. Give the team a read here before we talk more about pizzeria chips. Josh Allen and Deshaun Watson at QB, Christian McCaffrey, David Montgomery, Najee Harris, Trey Benson, Braylon Allen. So two possible Cowboys backs here. Again, another bet on hopefully a top team. I like that. Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Marquise Brown. So vet heavy start. Troy Franklin, though, the bet on him to Buffalo. Khalil Shakir already in Buffalo. Jerry Jeudy as part of that Cleveland stack. And Michael Mayer correlated with Devontae Adams. And I think we could take the QB. We don't have to take the QB. We've got optionality there. So I'm going to have to race Pete on Saturday. First, we're going to finish a bag of pizza chips. I have to make sure that Pete's still in for the stream, by the way. I've not talked to him this week, but I'll do that. I've been very busy. And again, I have too many fucking meetings, too many meetings today that are going to be very stressful and I'm trying not to think about. Pizzeria chips are goated. Tried to explain them to a Gen Zer once. They thought I was, this is how it's been. I tried to explain it to my wife and she's like, okay, yeah, chips. Great. Did not fucking get it at all. Even though we love chips in this house. How do you feel about Janu? A better version of Durham Smythe. Don't expect him to have a floor game to game. I think there's a ceiling there. So I'm okay taking him. I'd probably take him as more of a 3 tight end build guy. Would not feel good about him just being my tight end too. But he's good. Fuck meetings, just give us money, bosses. Yeah, that's what we're trying to do today. I actually have to put my fucking hair up and shit once this draft ends because I have to look professional. Ugh, but in a t-shirt though, and I'm gonna have to turn off the screen and in the money sign. I'll turn those things off for my meeting. Okay, good. He mentioned it. If Pete mentioned it, then we're good because we just have not talked about it yet. But we also like we never talked about shows anyway. So that's how it goes. We just go on. We go, hey, morning of, here's the thing we want to do. But yeah, so we should be a go for Saturday. I don't know the timing yet. We'll figure that out. But again, subscribe, hit the notification bell. You'll know both. And obviously on Peach Channel as well, you'll have to be a paying customer on Peach Channel because we're doing it as an after dark. So probably gonna open the cannons a little bit on something probably. You get me drunk and we get the show where you just talk about stuff. I think we're going to might find some Football Outsider slander on that one. One thing that feels fun on the big board is drafting Sutton, then snagging around 20 Bo Nix. That's interesting. I like that play. I kind of think, so they had Penix in for a top 30, didn't have Bo Nix in for a top 30. Worries me a little bit. I really think that Denver and Bo Nix, I want to be the matchmaker and just be like, you two guys, like, oh, you both like kind of automated robotic kind of offenses with a lot of checkdowns. Just come together. Just be friends. Like, that's what I want them to do. And unfortunately, they're not doing that. So it looks like. I think they're more linked to Penix, though. Penix, we'll see what happens. Because obviously, if the Raiders trade up for Jaden Daniels and the Raiders aren't going to get Penix, the Raiders have been the most linked to Penix. So that maybe you get the Raiders taking Jaden Daniels, and then Denver gets, I guess they would just have to take Penix at that point, right? If they're more interested in him, I think they would take him. I don't know who else would take Penix. I still think Penix is mostly a smokescreen. Like, in terms of him going top 15, even first round. But he did test well athletically, just a little bit old and a little bit too injured. Something makes it a joke. I love Penix. Yeah, it looks weird in text. But if you say the name, like, his name is Penix, right? It's not Penix, so you're okay. Horrible news for my Denver, what I thought were stacks. Yeah, I really thought, I mean, it's just a too good of a team fit. I thought the best fit was New Orleans. Like, I think that he would be a better version of what they want Derek Carr to be and what Derek Carr struggled with, which is that, you know, you have to get the ball out with timing, get the ball out with some snap. Don't try to just always set it up downfield, but take downfield shots when you have to. So I thought that made sense. Obviously, Denver, a lot of similar principles, same coaching staff that was previously in New Orleans. So, like, that would be the logic for them, wanting a QB like Bo Nix, but it seems like they want Penix more. But I was surprised to see that they hadn't brought Bo Nix in for a top 30. I mean, make sure that's correct, but I just looked at it like an hour ago, so I'm pretty sure it is. Also, fun fact, only team that's brought Brock Bowers in for a top 30 is Chicago, which I think Chicago's selling out to make this offense hum. All right, so yeah, they talked to Bo Nix at the Combine, the Denver. Denver did not talk to Michael Penix at the Combine, but had him in for a top 30 visit. It does seem, though, like Denver is a team that does either or, though for Jaden Daniels, they went to the Combine and his pro day. But for everybody else, it just seems like either top 30 or Combine. So maybe can't read too much into it, but you want to see a top 30 visit, I think. I will say one thing for Audric Estime. I still think that he can be good, but relative to his ADP coming down and me not trying to overload on him, he hasn't had a single top 30 visit. All of his visits were combine ones, so that worries me a little bit for him. He had a virtual visit with the Niners, so which would also be an awful outcome for him. And maybe he can get on the field a little bit for that Jordan Mason, Eli Mitchell stuff, but he gets like practice squatted if he goes to the Niners, which wouldn't be good. This information is subterfuge. I think there's been a good correlation between it in the past, especially, you know, like the more frequency ones. Like, teams aren't doing three visits with a guy just to set up a smokescreen if that's the only guy they're talking to for three visits. But you can certainly believe what you want out of it. All right, we have a 2571 here. Again, not an exciting pocket. We're just trying to make up some talent at this point. I'm going to go Noah Fant over Juwan Johnson, I think. Just like Noah Fant more as a play, that tight end room getting cleared out, the possibility of them being a more Washington, University of Washington style offense, I think are all good things. And whoever they have at QB, I think that's going to be a downfield thrower. Obviously, you trade for Sam Howell. That's it's got to be the expectation. So Noah Fant for me. 2572 here. So actually, Juwan Johnson came back. Not the biggest Juwan Johnson fan. I think he's okay here. Does he do anything for me, really? He just gives me a third tight end, and I do need it. So we'll take Juwan Johnson. He was the Week 17 winner last year. I don't want that to be a reason I draft somebody, but he has a tangible ceiling, so we're okay there. And we'll see what we can do late. Obviously, some receivers have taken a lot. Brendan Rice, you guys know I'd like to take a lot. Might not be a day for him. We'll see. Yeah, good correlation with top 30 visited players they draft. Yeah, that's the main thing. It's like teams don't have the time to waste to go through the motions for the stuff. Leaking stuff to the media, that's the smokescreen. Like, that's the real one. But, you know, I get it. Barrow Chicago would make sense if they didn't just pay a shit ton to Komet. I agree. I mean, that's the thing, too. So, like, again, I've beaten up on the NFL.com mock draft they had where they were talking about Atlanta trading up for Marvin Harrison. I don't think that's going to happen or has any shots happen. But besides that, it's like they haven't even brought in receivers for a visit. So, like, if they haven't brought in receivers for a visit, why would they make a trade for a receiver out of nowhere? Like, you have to read in the team intent. And I think that's something, too, with fantasy that we all have a tendency to sometimes try to outthink. But ultimately, like, right now, the team intent is meeting with these guys. In July, the team intent is who's with the first team, who's getting more work. What are they saying to the media about these guys? Who are they talking about can earn more reps? Who's going to be a guy that's rested with the starters? Like, those kind of things. So, like, reading team intent is one of the best skills you can have for this stuff. And I would say that for me, like, this is the best team intent stuff we have, is the top 30 visits and who's getting them and who isn't. But then you have to look at, obviously, the overall thing where it's like, okay, we look at Denver and we see they're not doing doubles for anybody. So that could mean nothing then, that they didn't bring in Bo Nix for a double. But if you have a team where it's like, oh, all these guys that we know they're linked to a lot and they're bringing them in for 3 days or going to their pro day, like, then it's like, okay, there's more than smoke here. This is actual interest, where they get the guy or not, they're actually interested. One Brendan Rice or Johnny Wilson. I'm not getting as much Johnny Wilson these days, but I should get a little bit more because I do believe in him and possibly goes somewhere good. Again, big body, too big perhaps, but produced well. Brown straight up from 54 to first overall to take Caleb Williams. Think that's going to happen. Yeah, I'm sure that'll happen. Great video, by the way, for the Caleb Williams, I guess, non-believers out there. Underdog guys talking about Caleb Williams. I think they graded him as a better prospect than Trevor Lawrence, which I'm not shocked by. Again, some flaws in his game, the pressure, how he handled pressure. I've pointed out here enough times. They didn't talk about that specifically enough, but did talk about the hero ball kind of stuff, some of the mistakes he makes when trying to do too much. But some of the greatness, too, they point out. One play that I actually did not recall, but didn't see at any point in his highlights, that Josh Norris had highlighted, I think, from like not even, you know, like from all 22 tape or something. And it was against UCLA where Caleb Williams has like three down linemen. And he basically, all three down linemen beat USC's horrible offensive line. And Caleb Williams shakes all of them en route to like ripping off a long pass. He does some really amazing things that I think they did a good job highlighting. And if you need to be sold on him, I encourage you guys to watch all their videos. I really think Josh and Hayden are the best at this stuff, in terms of like going in depth, showing you the film as well, which I know people do want to see to have that visual test component. I think the videos they've done really is some of the best content right now in the industry. Like, I love doing drafts and stuff. I think my rookie videos, I think I nailed a lot of shit earlier than everybody else. I feel good about that for, you know, another year in a row. But for those guys, like, the content they're doing, the depth and the way that kind of takes you from no knowledge to where you should hopefully land and trying to analyze these guys, I think they've done really one of the better jobs. Not to suck them off too much here, because like they're not the promo code that gets me paid, but they are genuinely, like, I always try to tell you guys when there's good content and good things to take a look at. If you have the time, watch their whole playlist. I'd recommend it. All right. And then while we're plugging here, Underdog promo code SPLASH, double your deposit to $100. Tank Bigsby goes. Think he's still a little bit underrated here, just as a guy that we already have heard again signal things teams are saying that you can kind of have some stock in, because they tried to do it last year. They want to get Tank more work. They want to take pressure off of ATN. Tank awful last year. Honestly, it's on worth pulling up the numbers just because he was so egregiously bad that it's hilarious. Negative 0.23 EPA per rush, and this is not a typo. Negative 2.6 EPA per pass. So he gave away every time he was targeted a little bit less than a field goal. But there was really some egregious plays by him in the past game. I don't know if you guys remember, you might not, because it may not be as traumatic for your best ball exposures. Tank Bigsby, one pass bounces off his shoulder pads, goes flying in the air. The team returns it for a touchdown. I'm sure that doesn't help. But lots of bad things for Tank last year. So that's what you keep in mind for him. I do see Kamani Vidal get drafted a lot. I feel like if you're going to draft flimsy late backs, I would take Dylan Labe over him. Labe's gotten a lot of good visits. Labe, I think, had a visit with the Chiefs. What's the Chiefs? No. He had a visit with a team where I was like, oh shit, that would be really bad. Visit with the Bucks was one that he had, which I think we talked about the New Orleans one. Chicago, that was one where I was like, uh-oh. that would give Roshan no role if they took in Dylan Labe, because Dylan Labe can be a pass-catching asset. Dawson Knox goes to J-Mac Crenshaw. J-Man Crenshaw. Could have maybe done Dawson Knox, but it would have been okay. Let's see here. 2573 Again, really don't think we need another running back. Houston, by the way, bringing in a good amount of rookies at running back to take a look at as well. So not great news for Damian Pierce having any shot to go alongside old Joe Mixon. I'm going to take Jalen McMillan here. Just think the Chiefs innuendo is interesting for him. Him being one of their top 30 visits, I think, is a good thing. And McMillan, a lot of great guys out there. Ben Gretsch, of course, of ship chasing, I think has been one of the ones leading the charge for Jalen McMillan. To me, he's okay. Like, I don't think he's Romo Dunze. I don't think he's necessarily a guy that I expect. I don't even think he's as good as Jalen Polk. But for him going to visit the Chiefs, having a few good visits, I think it's okay. All right, a 2583 here. You know what? We have this bet on Cleveland. I actually am going to take an RB6 in this room, and I will take Deonta Foreman. I think just him being able to punch in a few touchdowns, clean up some stuff, at least until Nick Chubb gets back in. And Nick Chubb, even if he gets back in, maybe he goes back out. He's old enough where that injury is a concern. So take Foreman here for our Cleveland bet. Team so far is a 2683. We got Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, Christian McCaffrey, David Montgomery, Najee Harris, Trey Benson, Braylon Allen. So two potential rookies going to the Cowboys here. I do like trying to corner that market. Deonta Foreman as well. Honestly, largely just because of the Cleveland bet, but also because I do like making up volume at running back, even if I'm not putting the draft capital there. A wide receiver, very vet-heavy early. Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Marquise Brown. Then we got Troy Franklin, who's had three visits with the Bills. The hope is that he goes there. Khalil Shakir, also correlated with Josh Allen. Jerry Jeudy, correlated with Cleveland. Jalen McMillan, we think he can go to KC. Worth that flyer now. A tight end, Michael Mayer, Noah Fant, Juwan Johnson. That's the team, and I like it. Feel okay about it. I feel like that was me getting less aggressive with my proclamation. I like it. It's okay. I don't hate it. That's how that goes. If I looked at Blake Watson, I think he was on one of my initial sheets, but he didn't stand out in any way. Yeah, Blake Watson, 0.06 EPA per rush, 19% stuff run rate, 18.8% missed tackle rate. I never like guys that have a higher stuff run rate than avoid a tackle rate. Not that it really matters, but that's one thing. Blake Watson, not bad in the pass game, 20 routes per game, 0.22 EPA, but nothing here that I'm like dying for. Not great versus 8-man boxes. Not good in the red zone, in particular, receiving in the red zone, negative 0.4 EPA there. He's a dude. I don't know. Really, for running back this year, I've said it enough times, but it's just whoever a team falls in love with that gets drafted, I think is it. So if somebody loves Blake Watson, somebody loves Ray Davis is linked to a few good spots in the top 30 list as well. Ray Davis was linked to the Broncos. They had a top 30 visit. That would be really bad for Javonte, I think, because Ray Davis probably has more juice. Ray Davis went to the Packers for a top 30. Ray Davis went to Houston for a top 30. That would be an interesting one and would probably make you want to draft Ray Davis. Ray Davis had some combine visits for a couple teams. And he went to the Cardinals for a top 30 as well. Oh, and the Falcons for a top 30. Ray Davis has had a lot of good visits, man. I'm not a big Ray Davis guy. I think he's just a dude, but he does seem like somebody that maybe some of the scouting guys falling in love with a little bit more. I think McMillan's better than Polk. I mean, McMillan was hurt this year, so it's hard to evaluate them one-to-one. I think Polk graded out pretty well for me. Let's see if I have both guys in here. I know I have Polk. Yeah, Polk had a good RAS testing, and then also a 0.34 EPA per target, which is not great. 25%. It's good, though. 25% target route run, you know, not great, pretty good. Polk was pretty good out wide, though. 0.59 EPA compared to 0.12 out of the slot. So he is more of an out wide guy, which I tend to put a premium on. And then McMillan. Do I have McMillan in here? Do not have McMillan. Let's see if he's in the database. Actually, hold on. Let me make sure my pick. Okay. Also wanted to make sure I had his name spelled correctly. Okay. Jalen McMillan. He might have had enough routes this year to qualify, right? Because he was hurt for a good portion of it. Come on, McMillan. He might not have enough to qualify, unfortunately. So I can't look him up live. Yeah, I spelled his name correctly. He's not in there. I did look up at McMillan, though, before for his last year numbers because somebody had asked me to. I do remember being like, he's pretty good, but it wasn't that much better than Polk. I think it might have been actually worse than Polk, at least in the EPA metrics. Xavier Worthy visited Buffalo. I did see that. But again, Troy Franklin's had three. So including a personal workout, which I think if I were to rank stuff, I do think a personal workout I'd put pretty highly. So that's why I'm more Team Franklin, but certainly Worthy can be there. I think Worthy's skill set's too duplicative of Samuel and Shakir. Whatever. The Bills are going to do what the Bills are going to do. If I were them, I think a Franklin type or a Brian Thomas type would help them out a lot more. Look at all these wide receivers on top of the queue. That's a first. That's true. This definitely was a lower wide receiver draft than we usually see. We do have Brendan Rice here, who I'm okay with. I think with the bets we have, it wouldn't be crazy to take Gardner Minshew. And frankly, I think we could use a little protection against Deshaun. The rookies who go to Vegas aren't here, so we're going to take Gardner Minshew with my last pick. Team is going to be a 3-6-8-3. Josh Allen, Deshaun Watson, Gardner Minshew at QB. Running back, CMC, David Montgomery, Najee Harris, Trey Benson, Braylon Allen, Deonta Foreman. So we did get our hero RB, then move the capital around. Wide receiver, Devontae Adams, Keenan Allen, Amari Cooper, Marquise Brown. Damn it. So when I can get through it all. Troy Franklin, Khalil Shakir, Jerry Jeudy, and Jalen McMillan, who again, some good visits for him, including Kansas City. Tight end, Michael Mayer, Noah Fant, Juwan Johnson. Is it a tight end? Could have maybe gone four tight ends, but I think that three works well enough for me. Ricky Pearsall video. Yeah, Ricky Pearsall working out with Waddle and Tyreek. He could be a slot receiver for Miami, and that would be, that would really fuck things up for Waddle, I think. But also, like, he would give you some spike weeks, man. He would give you better. I think he would be like the Noah Brown of that offense where you get random 20-point games. But that's an interesting one, that workout that we're talking about here. Yeah, oh, poor Ruggs. Sorry, it's not poor Ruggs. Poor people who got affected by Ruggs, but also poor Ruggs. All right, guys, drafts every Monday to Friday here on Splash Play at 11 a.m. Appreciate you guys being here. Of course, the timing, you know, we say 11 a.m., but I do have to move it around to try to give you different looks, different rooms. That's the goal here, to show you real experience, what it's like drafting these rooms, how to handle weird shit like we just saw here. I will update for sure if the team gets thrown out. But please, either way, subscribe down below. Hit that like button. Your likes matter a lot here to an independent creator like me because it helps me get seen by more people, and that's the main goal every day, to get seen by people like you who enjoy the stream. That's the hope, so. Hit the like button here, subscribe to get our videos in your feed, and that's the goal for that. Underdog promo code splash on there, double your deposit to $100. Probably my baby, best sport betting data in the world. 7 units in content this week. We are up, so feeling good about how data is rolling. Of course, have a lot of meetings about it, trying to make the product better, and actually one key change coming up. I think within the next 48 hours, hopefully, very least in the next week, allowing you to filter by sportsbook. So if you only want to look at the sportsbook you have money at, we're going to allow you to do that here and still try to give you plus EV bets. So that's coming up. It's worth getting in the mix now. Promo code splashprobably.com/subscribe will get you 50% off. And you can also get a 7-day free trial, which I'll leave in the pinned comments. And also leave 5 stars and a review to enter win a guest hosting spot on Splash Play. We'll be drawing that on Monday. Stochastic Masters is now going on, but there's still going to be tournaments, I'm sure, for the Masters throughout the weekend. I would recommend using their Sims tools and data. That's what I did for 20 lineups in the Millie Maker for the PGA. I don't play PGA regularly, play it here and there, but I do think it makes it easy for you to jump in, especially if you're looking at ownership, looking at leverage tools and things like that. That's what I did for my lineups, how I landed on some of the guys I did. We'll see if it works. But either way, if you just want to gamble a little bit on DFS and have the best tools to make it easy for you, that's what I would recommend doing. Stochastic, promo code splash on there to get 15% off. Shout out to all the fine folks who've joined this channel. In particular, our guys here at the end who've been actually had a nice convo in the chat with our guy W Fur Omega. So shout out to him. But appreciate all the guys here watching live. And of course, all of you guys with the join button, appreciate you even more for helping us put on the show. I'll be back tomorrow with more. So we'll do this again. Gamble responsibly. And just do that. Just do that always. And do I have a GIF here? I have a GIF. Here's the bonk dog. Why not? Back tomorrow with more, guys. See you then. Enjoy your days. Good luck.